And so you somehow find Subud while living in New York City, living on Riverside.
Well, I'd heard about it in Chicago, actually. Mm-hmm. When I was in Chicago, somehow, we lived in Old Town, which is a very arty part of Chicago. You know, lots of artists and writers. And
near Wells.
Like huh?
Near Wells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this guy, and I don't remember how we got to know him especially, his name was Dudley Malanson. And he was friends with Bob Camp, later Hamilton Camp, but Bob Camp at the time. And Bob Camp did a record with somebody else at the Gate of Horn in Chicago. And I think Bob Camp somehow got this Malanson guy to know a bunch of people who were in Second City in Chicago, too.
Latifa Taormina among them.
Right. Anyway, so he would come over to our house, and he came over to our house a couple times and brought Bob Camp with him. He had joined Subud because of knowing Bob Camp, he found out about Subud and joined Subud. And he told me about Subud and how we really ought to join Subud, and Harvey ought to join Subud. But he had also told me previously about an experience that he had had where he was taken aboard a spaceship and examined by aliens, and so that I didn't necessarily believe anything.
You were a little wary, let's say.
I was wary.
Yes.
That's right. I was wary because of his previous stories.
And he might whip out a ray gun or something, so you have to be careful.
So, like, oh, you know, so I don't know. But I had heard about Subud then. Uh-huh.
But then again, in New York, you hear about it.
Well, then when we were in New York, Harvey was into reading Gurdjieff and Uspensky books.
Right.
And so we joined the Gurdjieff Uspensky group there.
Were you doing the movements, the Gurdjieff movements?
Oh, yes. I had movements class, and we had Mrs. Benson, you know, who would, you know, once a week we'd meet at her house and you'd talk about your relationship with your husband or your house or anything. And she'd give you a hard time about everything. They also had me come one night a week. They had some workshop where you made things that they sold at some big Christmas festival or something where they sold them. And so I was always painting all these trays and things. She has a tray I painted with sort of Art Deco kind of designs. Right. And so I went there one night a week. But at some point, I don't know, at some point Harvey decided it wasn't his thing and he didn't want to stay in anymore and he left. And so then I went through this thing of, do I stay in this without him or do I leave, et cetera, et cetera. And so I finally decided, no, I'd leave too. By then I had heard of Concerning Subud, the book Concerning Subud. So I got it out of the library, and Harvey and I both read it. And then we both decided, well, we would like to be open. And so there was a phone number you could call up in New York. And we called up the phone number and said we were interested in becoming Subud members. And they said they'd send us in the mail an application form, which they did. And so we both filled them out and signed them and sent them in. And then the next thing, and they would supposedly would have you come in and talk to you, they would talk to you. But because so soon after that, Bapak was there for Briarcliff, see.
1963.
Yeah, which is the year I was open. So Bapak came for Briarcliff. And so Bapak said, anyone who has, you know, become an applicant can be opened, you know. That Ibu and he would open all these people. And so they gave us, I don't know, a phone call, come down on some certain date to be opened. And so we had never actually had an applicant meeting with anybody. All we'd done is read the book and sign the form.
I can just hear people listening to this with tremendous envy because of your experience.
I don't know. Years later, Julia Schusterman once said, all those people who were open then, and she said a lot of them really had never had any meetings with
helpers.
Right. And she said, those people should not have been open.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And I said, Julia, I said, I was one of those people.
Yeah.
So
they might have known what they were doing at the time. And it was because of Subud, in a way, that you decided to take a hiatus from creating art. You stopped creating art.
Oh, no, here's the real way to say that, is I thought everything in my life was perfect. My kids were in school all day. I could paint all day. I had this husband I'd received I was supposed to marry. And I had won an award as the most promising younger American painter. And I joined Subud, and I had to, A, I kept having lot-ins about things. I had to give up using drugs. B, I received that I had, from fourth grade on, spent all my life working to become an artist. I don't know why I have tears rolling down my cheeks. But anyway, working to become an artist, and that I hadn't developed sufficiently as a human being, and that I had to quit painting, which was like inconceivable to me. My whole life revolved around being an artist. That I had to quit painting for a period of time to develop more as a human being. And I thought, well, I could probably do this maybe for a couple of months or something. But it was 10 years. It was 10 years before I finally received, okay, now you can go back to being an artist again. Only you have to study sculpture. God really meant for you to be a sculptor, not a painter.
You got all this in Latihan.
Oh, yeah. And so it's like I joined Subud and changed everything, you know. Give up drugs, give up art for a period of time.
But it seems to me your intuition was pretty dialed in before Subud. So Subud, it seems to me, has acted as this huge magnifying glass for your intuition.
Well, I would say, and there's a lot of people I've met in Subud who are like that, that I was looking for Subud way before I'd ever heard of it or had any idea what it was. That it's just like you have something in you, like, I've got to find this thing. My mother, well, my grandfather was a Methodist minister, and three of my uncles were. And when my mother died and had her funeral, the minister said that she would have been a minister if women could have been one then, which is really true. And so we had bedtime stories about people in the Bible, and they relate, you know, God speaks to this person and tells him this. And that person tells him that. And so because I was brought up on so many of those stories, I was always looking for that kind of direct relationship with God.
Right.
Because I was convinced that it was possible to find it. And I was looking. All kinds of things. You know, I mean, I read Jung, and I read people who were disciples of Jung. And I mean, that's why, and Harvey was looking for that kind of thing too. And so that's why, you know, he read Gurdjieff, and we were in the Gurdjieff group. So I was basically spent years looking for Subud.
Right. You were seekers.
Yeah.
And stopped painting for 10 years.
I did, and it was amazing that I was able to do that. Because I'd never before that gone more than 2 weeks without painting.
How did you know it was time to get back into it?
I had a lot of, you know, now you could start doing painting.
Sculpture.
You can start being an artist again, but you have to take sculpture, bronze casting, stone carving, all that.
Right. And so what did you start to do after the hiatus?
And I was like, well, when I received it, I was like, oh, God, you got to be kidding. Oh, because I forgot the other thing. The other thing that I was received was that I was supposed to have two more children, but not for a long time.